Hello everybody, and thank you for joining me. For additional resources, please visit www.branken.net. That is www.branken.net.
Okay, this is session two in our series Training for Victory. And today we're going to look at the topic of spending time with God. We're going to look at a quiet time. Now please take note that this is a foundational series, all right? It's part of Christian foundations. But what I've discovered over the years is that a large amount of Christians do not have the full understanding even of the basic doctrine and basic ways and what we should do and not do and how you live and partake in the Christian life and the journey with the Lord. So I want to kick off this year with this series called Training for Victory, because if you want to walk in victory with the Lord and in life, you need to know that there are certain principles. If you apply it to your life, you will see results. If you don't understand it and you don't apply it, you might lack in the amount or the degree or the intensity of victory that you experience in your life and in your journey with God. So last week we looked at the whole topic of overcoming the world. Today we're going to look at spending time with God in quiet time. Now, I'm going to project everything on the screen. You can read with me. Very straightforward. Or one of the most important realities in your work with God is spending sufficient time with God. All right? And what you invest in a relationship is what you will get out of it. In other words, we can say that the depth of your relationship with Jesus is determined by the time you spend with Him. Now, folks, one of the greatest characteristics of those who truly journey with God is they have a lot of time worked into their week, or they've allocated a lot of time during their week in spending with God. Time alone with God, where you commune with Him, where you talk with Him, where you pray, where you pour out your heart before Him, where you learn from Him, where you spend time in the Word. It is so easy, and I'm not just saying this, if we want to live a victorious life, we have to understand this. The enemy will try to steal the time that you are supposed to use to spend with God. He will try to steal it. He will fill your schedule. He will send people over your path the moment you want to go and pray. Your phone will start ringing. This will happen. You'll get an email thing. Oh, it's so important. I just need quickly. I'll do it later. You have to be devoted to it. You have to put it aside. Because I don't care who wants to speak to you in that time. Even if it's the president of a country. Spending time with the president of the universe is more important. And you have to put times aside where you as a person can spend time with God. That's when you grow. It's when you gain insight and understanding. And without it, you will struggle to live a victorious life. Because if you do not invest time into your relationship with the Lord, how can you expect to mature in that relationship? It's like with any husband and wife. Let's say you'll get married to someone and you never spend time with them. You never get to talk with them. You never take time in just spending time with that person and getting to know their heart, how they think, how they operate, who they are, their character, their nature, etc. Do you think that a marriage like that will work? Okay, thanks. It's not a rhetorical question. All right. It won't work. All right. It will never work. You have to spend time and invest in it. And it's the same with our relationship with God. I want to challenge you to spend time with God. You cannot expect to grow spiritually if you don't. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more you are transformed into His image. The key to living a victorious life, folks, is to live a lifestyle of unity with God. We need to live surrendered lives, growing daily into a deeper relationship with God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 tells us the following. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. All right? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Folks, as we mature in our walk with God, we are being transformed into the image of God more and more. What does that mean? It means you begin to operate, function in life, think. When you work with people, you begin to treat them more according to the character and the nature of who Jesus is and what He is. Because Christian life is all about changing. Do you know that if you stop to grow spiritually, you are backsliding? The world is filled with backslidden Christians. To be backslidden is not just to turn away from God and turn to the world. It's standing still in your growth because God is moving. We have to have an active faith that progresses all the time. We cannot allow ourselves to get to the place where we said, okay, I've learned all that I have to learn, or okay, I'm okay with God now, whatever now. You know, I kind of put it. You will never outgrow God. You will never get to the place in this life where you've reached the full level of maturity. Because there's always more. Why? Because God is so amazingly great and big. And the more time we spend with Him, the more we are transformed into His image as we surrender our lives to Him. When it comes to intimacy with the Lord, we are called to impact this world through the way that we live. But the reality is that you cannot give or model to others that which you do not have yourself. It's very important. Folks, listen, how are we going to model as the body of Christ, the very nature of Christ to other people if we don't live within that reality? You can't. You can't teach your children a principle if you don't live it yourself. You know the old saying that do what I say, not what I do. It's a confession of failure. It's unbiblical. Paul says to the churches that he wrote the letters to, he says, follow my example as I follow Christ. I mean, that's a tall order. If you have to write to people and say, guys, I want you to follow my example, follow Christ as I follow Christ. Do you know to what degree your life must be surrendered to Christ? And we know if we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he suffered shipwreck, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was left for dead more than once. He faced the most horrific, horrific trials and tribulations. Not one of us has paid 0.01% of the price that the Apostle Paul paid in his life for the gospel. We're not close to anything that he has paid. But he kept on growing and he said to the people, folks, listen, look at me. Follow me. It's like when we work with our children. Look at what daddy is doing and do the same. Look at what mommy is doing and do this. But how can you expect to train your children in the ways of the Lord if they see that mommy and daddy is living in the world? You know what they're going to grow up? They're going to say, that was hypocritical. My parents always told me, you know, I must serve God. But, you know, they always engage in stuff. They never really lived what they said. And you diminish the power of your words and of the gospel in your children's lives. Because you have to lead through example. You have to lead through example. You cannot give what you do not have. Okay, the more you soak in His presence, the more of His love you can take in. And that's the amazing thing. Do you know, the more time you spend with God, the more you can accommodate Him. Understand what I mean? You get used to Him. Some people, they've got, you know, they can take in so little of God. They can take, or when they spend with God, it's like, oh, you know, 5 minutes is like 10 hours. But as you become mature, 10 hours feels like 5 minutes. And it's almost like a sponge. You know when you take a sponge, you take it and you dip it in water and you leave it. And it sucks up the water. That's how it is with us, what we need to do. God wants to listen to who you are. He desires transparency and intimacy from us. Now, the question that people always ask is, when must I have a quiet time? Try to sit your quiet times as fixed appointments. Why do I say this? I'm not trying to put you in a box and I'm not saying you have to do this. You grow and evolve in your relationship with God over time, etc. But remember, this is part of a foundation series. So, the advice I give people normally is make a fixed time to spend time with God. Because if you don't designate time that you're going to spend with God, the enemy will fill your schedule or you will fill it yourself. Book it out and don't allow your busy schedule to replace it. Try to make your quiet time at approximately the same time each day to establish a routine. The thing is, what you want to do, especially if you are newly saved, or you might even have been a Christian for many years, but you are not engaged really in all the how can I say, you're not applying a lot of the principles in your life, and you know, you're kind of like, just for you it was a Sunday thing, whatever. But in the week you kind of live your own life, do what you do, and every now and then you come to a service and you feel like, I've done my holy thing, I feel great now, etc., etc. When you begin to make your lifestyle with God, if that begins to permeate and flows through everything you do, your work, your social life, your family life, everything, you need to make the time spent with God, I always want to say, it must become a habit. And it will go beyond a quiet time. It will be through the day a couple of times as well. But at least start off with, this is the bare minimum. All right? It's the bare minimum. Because you want to establish a routine in your life. Try to make your quiet time at approximately the same time each day to establish routine. Choose the best time of the day. Early mornings work well before the rush begins. Jesus also did this. So you have to work out what time works for you. But normally, early in the mornings work well. Look at these scriptures, Mark 1:35. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out and departed into the desert place. And there he prayed. Can you see, even Jesus got up early in the morning and he spent time with his Father. In Matthew 6:6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You have to develop a God focus in your life, or else you will live within a world focus. You have to establish routine. You have to establish a God focus. And one of the best ways to do it is to have a quiet time where you designate a fixed time to God and you spend time with Him in that. Where must I have my quiet time? Choose a place where you can have an uninterrupted private time with God. Keep your Bible and notebook and stationery at hand. Okay, why? Because when you have a quiet time, you don't want to do it in a busy place necessarily. Especially in the beginning, when you are still young in the Lord, when you begin to journey. And even if you are more mature, I've got a place in this house where I always like to pray there. I think that I've prayed the heavens open in that area. And I always, when I really want to pray and I really want to focus on God, especially if I want to hear from God, if I want to hear His voice and I really want to focus and get strategic input from God, I go there and I pray and I just spend time with God alone. And I close the door and I tell my family, do not disturb me. I tell the kids, you don't come in, don't ask me anything, don't expect anything of me, leave me. I'm going to spend time with God. I need to pray. And then I close the door and I spend time with God. And I just pray until the thing is prayed through in the Spirit. Until I can feel it's done, it's established. But get a place for yourself. It can be an office, it can be one of your rooms, it can be anywhere. Get a place that is quiet where you can spend time with God. Put your phone off, put it on silent, etc. Because speaking to the King of the universe is more important than speaking to anyone else. And keep your Bible, your notebook and stationery at hand. Why? Because God speaks to us through His Word. Right, so your quiet time consists out of reading the Word, spending time in prayer, and if you feel something in your heart, write it down. Now, the aim and the meaning of spending time with God. Our quiet time with God is about building relationship, folks. You get to know Him through prayer, meditation, and the study of the Word. In word studies, we learn about the character of God, His ways, His purpose for mankind, and His love for us. So the more you get to study the Word, the more you spend time in studying the Word, the more you get to know God, because God reveals His character and nature through that. Through prayer and communication with God, we get to know His voice. And as your relationship with Him grows, you become more sensitive to His voice and are more easily led by the Holy Spirit. You need to get to know the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not follow. And how do you get to know His voice? By spending time with Him. Don't come to me and say, oh, Aubrey, God doesn't speak to me. I never know what's God's guidance in my life. I can't sense the Lord and feel what He wants. Whatever. I said, okay, how much time do you spend with Him? No, not that much. I pray now and then. I said, exactly. Don't come with me and say to me and say, listen, Aubrey, me and my husband, you know, We've never really communicated. We can't communicate. We never do this. When I said, okay, how much time do you spend together? No, he lives in Paraguay and I live in Mauritius. And we never phone one another. We speak once a year. I said, don't you think it's pretty obvious that there won't be depth in your relationship? To have depth in relationship, there must be proximity, togetherness, communication. All right? It's like that in our relationship with God. As you grow, you become more sensitive to His voice and are more easily led by the Holy Spirit. That means you can walk in a shopping center and if there's something that's not right, you'll begin to identify, to see it, to know it. You're driving your car and you just begin to think of someone over, and you know, this is not just a thought, it's God placing it in my heart. I need to pray for this person. I need to phone them to hear how they are. All right? Because we become sensitive to His Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only God and people, but us and God as well. Then, the main components of a quiet time. You might know this, you might not, but it's good to have a refresher every now and then. Bible study, prayer, meditation, and worship. These are the four main components. There might be others. You don't want to look at my quiet time or the times that I spend with God. It's very weird. All right? It's really weird. You will say I've lost it because I've done it for so many years and I know when the Holy Spirit takes things in a certain direction. But it took me years and years to begin to identify certain things. But the main foundational thing is those four. All right? Remember, the Word of God is a person, not just letters on a page. It's very important. We always think of the Word of God, it's letters on a page. It's not letters on a page. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, 1 John 1 says. All right? So remember, when you study the Word, you are literally studying the character and the nature of the person, Jesus Christ. We want the Word of God to dwell in us richly. So you need to journey with the Holy Spirit towards gaining greater understanding and insight into the character and the nature of God. The basic guideline is this, folks. Do it and do it often. Okay? Spending time with God. And secondly, read the Bible books first and then books about the Bible. It's very important. Many Christians spend the majority of their time that they designate towards God in reading books about God, not the Bible itself. That's the golden rule. You have to spend more time in the Word of God than in books writing about the Word of God. Because it's not the books and the knowledge in the books and the DVDs and the CDs and stuff that will get you through the difficult times. When the enemy comes with his deception and his lies and his attacks, what do we use against him? What did Jesus use in Luke chapter 4 in the desert? When the devil came and he tempted him, he used what? The Word, exactly. The Scriptures, the Word. And the principle is always this. In your quiet time, don't start by reading other books and stuff. First, get God's Word into you. All right? Everything else is from man. It can be inspired, but the Word comes first. So, read Bible books first and then the books about the Bible. The Scripture, Colossians 3:16 and 2 Timothy 3:14 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts unto God. So singing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord. But as for you, 2 Timothy 3:14, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If you want to be trained, equipped for every good work, spend time in God's Word. It changes our lives. Now, the other aspect of quiet time is prayer. If you stop praying, you perish spiritually. That's why I believe many Christians are spiritually absolutely dead. When you speak to them, you can speak to a brick. It's really, you'll get more response from a stone than when you speak to many Christians in the world. Many people. Because why? Their spirit is not sensitive at all. There's no prayer life. There's no interaction with Jesus. All right? They made a decision once saying, I give my life to Jesus, and now they think the rest of life is sorted out and it's ready. No. Just in the New Testament itself, in the New Testament, there's about 80 scriptures referring that you have to keep on in your journey with God. It's not about, I did the sinner's prayer once. You have to continue. You have to grow. We have to mature spiritually. And if you don't pray, if you don't have that intimacy with God, you perish. It's as easy as that. All right? Prayer is communicating with God, who has the power to do all things. And during your prayer, your spirit communes with the Holy Spirit. Prayer is sacred. It's really a holy thing. Effective communication is the foundation of any relationship. Folks, we have to pray. Please, it's not a suggestion. If you want to live a spiritual life, if you want to mature, if you want to grow in your relationship with God and you want to know God, you have to pray, pray, pray. All right. Philippians 4, 6 and 1 John 5, 14 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen to that scripture. I'm going to read it again. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay, God, now we have to move. They've sold this building. We know, we've dealt with some people, they'll rather leave their building empty than renting it out to a church. So it's a challenge. Where do we get a venue? It's easy to become anxious. But God says, don't be anxious about anything. Paul records it here, all right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known by God. So we let our request be known by God through thanksgiving, including. That's why I prayed earlier, and I said, God, I thank you that you have provided the place, and thank you that everything will work out. Thank you that we will have the finances to pay everything. Thank you that we will have all the people to help with the move. Thank you that we will have growth when we go there. Thank you that we will mature in this process. Thank you that it is the next. I don't see those things physically, but I see it in the spirit. And I know it's a reality. And we have to confess that and walk as if it is our reality. And you know what happens? It becomes the reality. Through everything, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Can you see why it's so important in your quiet time to spend with God? If you trust in God for your children, spend time with God in quiet time and pray, because the scripture says, okay, and this, the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. How are you going to learn to know the will of God? By spending time with God, by getting to know His Word, by getting to, you know, to pray, spend time in that. All right? Then prayer tips, quickly. God's heart is for us to share all of ourselves with Him. The scripture in Proverbs 3:6 says, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. Pray aloud. I really want to encourage you to do this. Do so will also give you confidence to pray with others. All right? Don't just sit in your quiet time and pray in your head. Pray aloud. It helps you if you hear yourself praying. It gives you confidence, even in the future, to pray with other people. All right? And there's something about the spoken word. Because the word, the scripture says, the tongue is like the rudder of the ship. It steers it. The power of life and death is in the tongue. There's something about when you speak and confess certain things. And the power of prayer lies in the confession of the prayer, in speaking it. That's why I will often, when I read scripture, I will read it aloud. I will pray aloud. Why? Because the words that come out of my mouth, I hear it. It helps to build my faith. It helps me to focus. And it releases things in the spirit. All right? That's why the Hebraic, the biblical tradition is always, always, always they pray aloud. They read scripture aloud. It's never always silent in my mind, in my head. Always aloud. All right? So challenge yourself. And when there's no one with you, you can do so. Faith is vital. You must believe that God hears and answers your prayers. Okay, remember, doubt and you do without. Believe and you receive. Simple principle. If you pray according to the will of God and you're in God's will and you're moving in your journey with God, if you pray with faith, Jesus said this, all right? Especially in Mark. Okay? Believe that you've already received it and it will be done. Prayer tips, various types of prayers. You get repentance prayers where you apologize or repent for things that you've done wrong, things that you know you've missed the mark, etc. Repentance is extremely important in our journey with God. We have thanksgiving prayers, prayers of praise where we just praise God. Specific prayers, request known, warfare prayers where we stand against the enemy. There are various forms of prayers, and I'm not going to go into detail here with regards to that because it's not the focus of this morning. Okay, but prayer is not a platform for gossip, bragging, breaking others down and glorifying yourself. All right, remember that. Especially when you get into a group and you're like a group together that's praying. All right, prayer is not a platform for gossip. Singing. It might be feel strange for you to include this in your quiet time, but it is powerful. Just some tips. Sing songs that you know, all right? And go into a free worship if you can. In other words, what you can do is put on a CD, MP3, MP4, whatever you want to use as a device, all right? And put a worship song on. Worshiping God in song is meant for everyone. And even in the song, it helps you to spend time just meditating on the Word of God and scripture passages that you've just read. Right, so make worship part of your quiet time. Have a CD, some music at hand, whatever. And while the worship music is playing, all right, and it's really praise and worship music, just spend that time, maybe softly in the background or during your prayer. You know, just contemplate God's word. Begin with His word, read it, pray about it, give God praise, etc. Thank God for His greatness, etc. And then there's a time where you can just go either yourself, sing it. And sing songs that's on your heart, or improvise, or sing a known song, or put a CD on and listen to it. Make it part of you. It helps to breed a sensitive spirit. Then, live your day with an awareness of God. Learn to focus on God throughout the day. This is an incredibly important point. All right? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He went aside to do that. David 7 times, we looked last week. In all your ways, recognize and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight your plain and plain your paths. All right? Include God in everything you do and start doing. Don't engage in a massive business deal and now you are 20 miles down the road and now things begin to turn out bad and now it's like, oh, we need to pray. Okay? Did you devote the process to the Lord when you started? No. Okay, so God is not in this whole thing. So how can you expect God results if you haven't even acknowledged the Lord and recognized Him when you started? All right? Make God part of your day. Make Him part of the process. And if you're in business meetings and you need to pray, my, for goodness sakes, just do it. All right? Sometimes Christian businessmen are so fearful because they're so scared. What will people think? Who the heck cares what people think? If it's about going forward, moving forward, whatever, why do we have this dichotomy that in the business world, in the business arena, in business, God is not involved in that? You know, it's my spiritual life, I'll pray. In the church time, I'll pray. With believers at home group, I'll pray. But not at work. That's the secular world. That's where you need more prayer than ever. All right? If you have people that's like-minded in that, pray. Commit a process to the Lord. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and He will direct your paths. The problem is often in business, and I've sat with very high profile business people that's really very, very successful. And if you look at the teams and the people that have got before them, they commit the processes to the Lord. They commit their works to the Lord. They say, God, please guide us and lead us through this process. You know what happens? When the difficult times come, it's easier to trust God because you know God is involved. All right. So, at the end of the day, end your day with God. It's good just to conclude the day with God. Just an awareness. Start it with Him, end it off with Him. Matthew 14:23. And after He had sent the multitudes away, Jesus went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, that's just a direct, it's a copy and paste out of the Bible, so that's how it is in the American Standard Version. All right? And when even was come, he was there alone. You could see, how did Jesus conclude his day? Spending time with God. We saw that in the morning he got up and he spent time with God. And that's it for this morning. I want us to just take 5 minutes or so. And I want you to read this psalm. Psalm 47 verse 8. It says, God reigns over the nation. God sits on his holy throne. Do you think there's anything that can happen in this world that catches God off guard? Do you think there's anything that he doesn't know about? Do you think there's anything in your life that is coming that God doesn't know about? No. Because God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. What I want to do is, I want us to take this time and I want you to just meditate on the scripture, which basically means just ponder about it, think about it. Think about the vastness. What does it mean that God reigns over the nations? Which means it's over your life. It's our lives. He reigns over the nations. He sits on his holy throne. What does it mean? I want you to sit and meditate on the scripture for a while. I'm going to play piano. I'm just going to play. Okay? And then we'll go into a song. It's a song that you most like.
Chayim lenetzach. Chayim lenetzach. Chayim lenetzach. Im Yeshua Elohai. Chayim lenetzach. Chayim lenetzach. Chayim lenetzach. Im Yeshua Elohai. Yeshua Elohai.